हरे कृष्ण। Nrisimha Swami Prabhu, which verse will we recite today for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas? A voice according to our own choice. I will now look at all of you and see what subject matter or what verse you need. You are a difficult audience. Hare Krishna. It is with great pleasure that we are here in this small temple. We have expected 1,000 members in the audience, but let us today have a small and intimate group and later have more devotees attending the class. We have just arrived by the airplane from a country where there's snow up to this height. My mother tongue is not English, so you will have to pay your greatest amount of concentration in order to understand me, because my English is a little faulty. It will have a very strong German accent. So you please support me with your utmost attention. In choosing the verse today, I have looked upon a subject matter which I wanted to talk about. It's something which might make a huge difference in your spiritual life. We are reading today from the 15th chapter, text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation. The living entity in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts due to conditioned life. They are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Purport. In this verse, the identity of the living being is clearly given. The living entity is the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditioned life, and in his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said, Sanatana. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, and the secondary expansions are called the living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion, and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms, like Lord Ram, Narasimhadev, Vishnumurti, and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planets. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities as fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The living entities also have fragmental portions of his qualities, of which independence is one. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has his personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. We have all done this, misused our independence. Now is a challenge for you. And by proper use of independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal as the Supreme Lord is. In his liberated state, he is freed from this material condition, and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. That means if you are serving Krishna, you are in your liberated state of being, and in your conditioned life, you are dominated by the material modes of nature and forget the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. Mm-hmm. Next time when I come here, I would very much like to continue with this long purport. Let me now give you a little summary of what we have read so far. We hear of different expansions of the Lord. One type of expansion is in the Vishnu Tattva category. These are the Lord himself in forms like Rama, Narasingha Dev, Rama, Chandra, and so on. And the second type of expansions of Lord Krishna are also called Bibinangsa. They are separated tiles. Tiles is a German word. Parts. Separated parts of the Lord. They are also the Lord in minute, means very small quantity, in that they have the same qualities of the Lord. The living entity is not God, but it has in small quantities qualities of the Lord. And then Prabhupada in his purport goes on. This living entity, which is a part of Krishna, has two choices to make in his or her life. One is to go under the control of Prakriti, material nature, or to engage in transcendental devotional service. Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jai Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go. Oh Pujariji, you have separated us from the Lord's darshan. Please bring us in contact again after some time. We will continue the purport in our next reading because these are already very strong subject matters. My dear devotees, let us now deeply think about the text which comes from Bhagavan's own lotus lips to enlighten us who have made the mistake to misuse our independence. Translation the living entity in this conditioned world, that's us, are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Hare Krishna. Lord Krishna here gives very encouraging news. He says, all of you living entities are my parts and parcels. You belong to me. We have a very eternal, uninterruptible relationship. And he points out in the second part of the shloka why we are so often not aware of this relationship. It is due to the mind, the mana. The mind has constitutionally five states. One is called citta in Sanskrit, and the second is called vikshipta. A third state, I will come to the next one, to the other soon. I will first start with the first state of the mind. Chipta means diverted. The mind is not focused, but it is engaged with so many other subjects. You can make the experience during this lecture. I guarantee that for the average person who listens to this lecture, the mind will take him about 10 times completely out of the subject into something else. He will think about his home life, maybe drinking milk. He will think of maybe some disturbance which has happened during the day while you were busy doing either your sevas or being in the office. Chipta and means diverted. Mind is not focused. Chanchala himana Krishna. This is the analysis of Arjuna. He says, my mind is very flickering, moving very fast. Now, the second state of the mind is vikshipta. It means an increased form of divertedness. It means disturbed. In the Bhagavad Purana, we hear that the normal condition of a living entity in this life is he is disturbed in his mind. There's some sadness, some irritation, something which is not nice. I have studied, before I came to Krishna consciousness, the ancient science of face reading. And when you read a person's face, there's usually a sign of some distress. Usually. I am now making a careful analysis. With the Matajis, I cannot look so closely. But for the men, yes, some sadness, some problem, and so on. I will not go with you today through all the five states of the consciousness. I will only tell you Nirodha, that's the fourth stage. The third stage, I must say, I have forgotten at this stage because my mind is kshipta, that means diverted, like everyone else's. So we have to look up the third stage. But the fourth stage is Nirodha, the mind is becoming a little fixed sometimes. However, when there is an external influence, then the mind fixedness becomes diverted. Krishna gives an example of this state, Nirodha state, in the Gita, where he says the mind of a transcendentalist is like a Krishna doesn't give this. There is a picture which can make us understand. It's like a candle, you know. When you light a candle, it is all right. It burns very steady. But if there is some slight influence, let us say a little like this breathing, or some wind, it begins to dance. So Nirodha means you may have attained a state of mind by your Krishna conscious practice where you are no longer so disturbed. But if the external circumstances change, and your wife, for instance, calls you an insensitive fool, then you are again very much disturbed. There is another state. This is the fifth state of consciousness, where the mind is just so much fixed that it is compared to be with a candle in a wind-still location. That means a location where disturbances cannot come. And such a personality is totally undisturbed and undisturbable. I do remember Srila Prabhupada in his last day. He was indisposed, and devotees had to carry him to his bedroom and so on. That time, in order to avoid a certain swelling in his body, he was covered with white talcum powder. Talcum powder is known here. When Prabhupada was carried one day, he was laughing. Ha 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 ha. And the devotees were asking him, "Why are you laughing?" And he said, "Because now I look white like Lord Shiva." He was undisturbed even by the impending death, which can be disturbing. You must agree, it can be disturbing. So it is due to the disturbedness of the mind that we constantly forget that we are a part of Krishna. It is due to our restless, kshipta mind that we constantly become diverted from the essential points of Krishna consciousness. My dear devotees, if our mind could be fixed throughout the day on our relationship to Krishna, that I am a part of God, we would not be in anxiety, we would not fear our examens, we would not even become disturbed if our close relatives call us names which are less than pleasing for us. We would be always fixed. For Krishna consciousness, you must fix your mind. It is important. And in this lecture, we will learn a 3-step program from the Bhagavad Gita, how to fix our minds. We will actually learn this evening, and from tomorrow onwards, you will be enlightened souls. Because tomorrow you will start applying these 3 steps in your life. In the evening it might be a little late and you might think of prasadam and getting home, but from tomorrow onwards your conditioned life will be stopped. Hare Krishna. At least in theory. I said, at least in theory. It depends how you will be able to practice what you will hear. Now, the first thing, before I will give you a practical three-step program, the first thing which you must understand and meditate about in spiritual life is what is called the satya. Who of you knows what the Sanskrit word satya means? It's an important word. The goal to achieve. The second important word which you must learn today is sadhana. What is a sadhana? Someone said austerities. Now you have gone very much in a minute detail. More general, please. What is sadhana? The means. The way. The proper way to reach your sadhya, your goal. And the third word which I would like you to learn this evening is sadhu. What is a sadhu? As a saintly person who teaches us sadhana and sadhya. Very good. You are extremely willing to concentrate your mind on these subjects. Three things, my dear devotees, should be always conscious in your world. The sadhya, the goal where you wish to go. The sadhana, which is the process which brings you to the goal, and the sadhu who instructs us in our movement. We have a very exalted sadhu, Srila Prabhupada, whose teachings we are repeating and learning and applying. I would like to make the point that many, many times devotees are not thinking about these three things, and therefore their spiritual practice becomes somewhat mechanical or lifeless. And even after so many months and years, they have the feeling that they have not sufficiently progressed in their spiritual life, and they feel in some ways a spiritual insufficiency, a lack of spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada once gave us a beautiful example of this dilemma, which is maybe also present in 80% of my audience today. He said, when you go for rowing a boat, you must be aware of the goal. If you just row, you might turn in circles. Have you experienced this in your rowing activities? I have experience. I was going into a boat, and the devotees, because I had a back problem, and the doctor advised, you must row. And I did, but I turned in circles. I could not get anywhere because I had not fixed a goal with my practice of rowing. I was just rowing without having a goal. So when you, this is an example which tells us how extremely necessary it is to not only have an awareness of one's practice, chanting and so on, but to also be aware of the goal, Krishna, the spiritual world. Chintamani prakarap satmashukal babriksha Lakshavriteshu surabhira bibalayantam Lakshmi sahasra shatasambramavse vyamanam Govindamari purusham tamam bhajami. We learn here of the spiritual world, which is our goal. We want to return to our home. We want to again be with the Lord, dance with the Lord, eat with the Lord, love the Lord. This is important. And then this is when we chant. I want to show you, when a devotee has in his spiritual practice the goal in his mind that, oh my Lord, I wish to serve you, then his practice is animated. He will chant like this: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I know you know the mantra, but please listen for a moment. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. He will call out to the Lord. But if the devotee is not aware while he chants of the goal, he might, his mind, which is not engaged, might divert. Hare Krishna, Hare. When is this inhuman torture finished? Ram, Ram. The moment there is the goal in the sadhana, the sadhana gets life. The moment the goal is cut off from the sadhana, the life is not there. Have you seen these lifeless devotees, half dead? Have you maybe also been a lifeless devotee, half dead? No. This is a very existential question to ask. Krishna. The moment, however, we become aware of our relationship, my dear devotees, we get life. I would like to give you an example of the ordinary world, which tells us a little bit how extremely important it is to be aware of one of sambandha, a relationship with Krishna. Imagine an ordinary person who lives in a city like Bangalore. Throughout the day, he's most probably exposed to a lot of violence in the newspapers, for instance. Or he might look some TV and he might get some understanding of the tsunami catastrophe, some earthquake here, some war which has erupted there. But although he reads the newspaper every day and he has an exposure to so much violence, he does not react in particular. Imagine this person would one day read the newspaper, and in a little corner in the newspaper is a little note. The High Court judge in Calcutta was murdered. Oh no! And he faints and falls on the ground by reading this little information. Why did he fall on the ground? Because the High Court judge of Calcutta happens to be a close relative, maybe the husband of his sister. Let us say like this. Because of a relationship, the same person who had seen so much violence throughout the day, each day, is all of a sudden emotionally touched and stirred up. Because there is a relationship. He does not ignore this information like he would ignore other reports of some violence which happened here or there. So this is an example which shows us how a person is touched, moved, when there is a relationship and an awareness of a relationship. The same holds true in our sadhana. When we are aware of our relationship with Krishna while we do our sadhana, then, my dear devotees, our devotional service gets life. We are happy. We are convinced. We are walking on the spiritual platform throughout our days, and our mind is all of a sudden fixed. It's called ekagra. Ekagra means concentrated. This is something which is wonderful and which you can observe to a maximum degree in the life of great devotees. For instance, in the lives of Haridas Thakur. Who is not familiar with Haridas Thakur's life, please honestly raise your hand. It's no problem. That means you are aware of Haridas Thakur? Good. Let's see, he is an example of a devotee who was really under a lot of external disturbance. He was in fact beaten, but as he chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he was so much fixed on the Lord of his heart that he did not perceive the beating as something which was disturbing. No? In fact, we hear in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that he prayed to the Lord, please forgive these people who are beating me with canes. Please forgive them. Don't take it as an offense against your devotee. Please forgive them. This happens when a devotee is aware of a relationship, the relationship to Krishna. Would you now like to learn 3 steps to become more aware of your relationship to Krishna? Would that be relevant for your life? Then we will immediately hear this. This information actually is very rare. You get it after many, many, many lifetimes of spiritual search. But today, because we are all one family and we are accustomed to listen to Krishna, we get the highest jewels very, very directly from Lord Krishna. So listen very respectfully, very attentively, and please listen with a mind how you could in your life apply these sacred teachings. Yes. Sri Bhagava, no. That's another verse. We will first go, those who like to take notes, to 2nd chapter, text 12. Natvevaham jatu nasham, natvam neme janaditpa, nachayvana bhavishyama sarve vayamataha param. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. The first step we can find here is that we become aware of our eternal identity. As you begin your day, you should meditate, consciously meditate, I am an eternal soul. As you look in the mirror, making yourself ready for the day by maybe brushing the teeth, or this is a little tamasic, by applying the tilak markings or so on, look in your eyes, become aware, I'm not the body, I'm an eternal part of Krishna. The pujari who enters the deity room in the morning will chant, will bring this concept into life, and I think it is something which you could also apply. He will chant what is called the Buddha Shuddhi prayers. Have you heard about the Buddha Shuddhi prayers? Yes, some of you have heard. I believe I have them here with me in the English translation. These are very wonderful prayers, and you will get the mood of these prayers and experience something very useful. I'm sorry. I will recite them to you by heart. I will recite them in the English language. My Lord, I am your eternal part and parcel. Somehow or other, I have left you and I have fallen into the material world. By some indescribable good fortune, however, I have met a sadhu who has informed me that I am your eternal part. Now I can render service to you. This is the first meditation. This is how you should begin your life. I have been once with you, my Lord, then I have fallen into this world. But now I have the opportunity to again engage in your service. The Prabhupada, he often would tell us that the whole process of Krishna consciousness is dependent on one single understanding, and that is that you must understand that you are eternal. That's very important. Now the second point is something where you begin to work in this understanding that you are eternal and separate from the body. This is described in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 8 to 9. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit pasyan shrinvan sprishan jigran ashnang gachang svapan svasan. A person in the what this means, the second step, is you take a neutral stand and observe yourself and your life without becoming involved. So often, my dear devotees, we are pulled in by the events. We become either disturbed, we become lusty. Does this happen in India also? It does. We become highly, agitated, maybe angry, because we lose our neutral, spiritual observer position. What this position is explained in beautiful words. It's a little complicated. You need to concentrate yourself, in other words. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, the person in divine consciousness always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, that means going to the bathroom, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. My dear devotees, because this is so important, I will show you what this text means. I will now take, with your permission, the observer role of Satchinandan Swami. Is this all right for you? Satchinandan Swami remains sitting here. I'm his observer now. Oh, Satchinandan Swami, you're sitting there addressing the crowd, small crowd, in the Jagannath Mandir. Your one leg, left leg, has fallen asleep. You're trying your best to reach your audience, but actually you don't know if they understand and take it to heart what you say. Please don't be so intense with your audience. You might shock them a little bit. They meet you for the first time. Be a little like the other ISKCON Swamis who come. This is my tip to you. Okay, I was observing. Now I will go back to Satchinandan Swami. Hare Krishna. This is sometimes very helpful in our life, to go move a little bit and see ourselves, observe ourselves. How are we doing? It is sometimes good as you chant your japa. Am I chanting concentrated now? It is good when you do your service. Do I serve the devotees or am I a little arrogant now? It's good when you are at work. Do I still have all the different aspects which I need to know in my mind, or have I become a little bit forgetful of all the points? This observer rule is so important because it will help you to act according to your knowledge. My dear devotees, if we would act according to our knowledge, we would be most probably in a very good position. But because we are often acting impulsive, we are reacting to the influences, we can really say we move like puppets under the control of the three modes of nature. This text is a little complicated, and I sincerely request you to read it with a purport outside of this lecture. It will help you very much. It tells us about the observing role, how a person in divine consciousness knows that while he does so many things, it's really not that he acts, but he is being acted through by the material energy. He's only a puppet. The third step. Are you ready for the third step? Thank you. The third step, my dear devotees, can be practiced if you learn to see Krishna behind everything which happens. Then you become extremely happy. I want to relate to you something which happened today to me. We arrived after a long flight, I believe it was up to 9 hours, 9 to 10 hours, And we were so tired when we came to Bangalore. So we rested well, and then we met Kunya Bihari and Ananda Moyer, who gave us an orientation of the next few days here, in where we can hope to serve all of you. We also want to sincerely request all of you to come to the marriage, a big public program. It is coming on the 2nd of May, March, I'm sorry, 2nd of March. It is in some public hall, and please do come. We expect a lot of crowd, and we want to do nice chanting, and usually the crowd is a little restless. But if you are there and we can chant together, we can create a very nice vibration, spiritual sound vibration, which will draw the attention of the audience. So my sincere request is that you come and inform your friends, and I will give a lecture there, a lecture which you will not forget for the rest of your life. I promise, I have some great surprise. There's some great surprise which will happen during the lecture. Surprise is surprise. We cannot talk about it here. So anyways, we were a little tired. Then we heard from Narasingha Priya that actually very close by our house where we live is Balaji. And we know Balaji is a very important deity in Tirupati, and he has come also here to Bangalore. And we know we have now come to South India. We must first report to Balaji that we are here from the barbarian country, Germany, and we request your very sincerely your blessing for our little journey and our little pilgrimage. We want to visit different temples also. We wish to see Sri Ranganath and Balaji. We want to see all these. And my dear devotees, when we arrived in the temple, we felt Balaji had called us. We felt here we want to stay and chant for the rest of our life. We felt so much embraced by the Lord, the devotees who served him, the pujaris, were calling us into a special deity room, and they chanted different prayers and so on. And I felt very much, oh, Krishna had seen that we have come to Bangalore, and we needed his encouragement and inspiration, and he had called us. And this is really a vision which is practiced in the third step. It means that a devotee consciously practices to see behind the events in his life the merciful hand and control of his beloved Lord. I would like to read the Sanskrit shloka now for you, which illustrates this. It's a very important shloka. Yo mang pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. Here comes the translation. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. No? It is in your life, you should see that behind everything, and I want to repeat this word, behind everything, there is Krishna's control. Even behind the so-called unpleasant things, like for instance an examination which you have failed, or a quarrel in which you have found yourself in. If you can just understand that this did not happen by chance, but it is and it was arranged by Lord Krishna, you immediately turn the whole situation into a blissful experience in Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Very often, very, very often, at least in Germany, I do not know if in India, we become so much agitated if something goes against our plan. And we are extremely angry. But do you know that everything which happens is ultimately under the merciful control of the Lord to educate you? So if you are just cursing back, why me? Why did you say this? Why did you fire me from my job? Why did you not prepare the idlis according to the proper recipe? We miss out on a lesson. Behind everything, even the spoiled idlis, is the Lord's hand, because nothing can move outside of the control of the Lord. I would now like to give you an example. Imagine someone is working with a stick on something, and he, while working with this brush, maybe he's brushing painting his apartment, and he very enthusiastically and jubilantly brushes his paints his apartment, and he goes shoop. Then if he said, you very uncivilized painting brush, you have painted me. And he would throw it out of the door on the street where the cars go over it and destroy the painting brush. This would be highly unintelligent. He has brought this coloring of his face about. So in the same way, everything which is happening, it is a result of my own karma, which is given to me by Lord Krishna. My dear friend, His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj, likes to quote Srila Prabhupada by saying, never become angry at the agent of your own karma. Hare Krishna. Everything which happens is because you did it. You brought it into, brought it about, and now Lord Krishna gives you a reaction so that you can learn. Hare Krishna. I might talk about this a little bit more in detail in a future class, because I feel it's a very important point to learn. But at this moment, I would like to summarize today's class so that you become aware of the highlights. If due to the mind being chipta, that means diverted, you have not been able to concentrate on all the points, this is your chance. Please listen now. We were talking today that our spiritual practice becomes full of life when we become aware of sambandha, our relationship with Krishna. And we gave 3 steps by which we can become aware of our relationship with Krishna. The first step is that we must understand how we are eternal, and we should practice this every morning. The second step is that we understand that although it may seem to us that we are active, it is really our bodies which are active, who are under the full control of the material nature. And the third and last step is really to see how Lord Krishna is guiding everything and is behind everything which does happen to us. When a devotee is in this understanding of life, at such a time, his Krishna consciousness is very, 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 very nice. Okay, so I have come to my preliminary end. It's not yet the final end. I wish to give our Nrisimha Swami Prabhu a present. As a temple president, he is your representative. And then I want to give all of you a present from Radha Madan Mohan, our beloved deities in Germany. But before doing so, I would like to see if you have a question at this moment. Yes, Prabhuji, in the...
you said that you have to see God Krishna's hand behind everything that comes to us. How do we reach that platform?
How do we come to this understanding that everything moves under Krishna's control? What would you like to have? The intellectual approach or the devotional approach? Both? Or no, I'm asking. I'm sorry?
It's up to you.
It's up to me. I think it... what is the time now? 10 minutes to 9. Krishna. This is a very, very deep subject matter. Please allow me to address it in a concentrated way. There is a beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada which gives us the intellectual approach. It says, a person who is intelligent can understand that while he is walking through this world, he is dependent on the material energy. For instance, in terms of your body. The body is a very complicated machine which was given to you, a machine which is designed by Lord Krishna. For instance, if I now say, lift the right hand, it does it. But it does it, and how it does it, I really don't know. There's millions or billions of functions. Some of you might study medicine, and you might know that there is a lot of electrical, bioelectrical mechanisms necessary for a very simple thing like this. So this thing ultimately moves under the control, this mechanism of the Supreme Lord, who explains in the Gita, Maya Tyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. There is a line of thought which I cannot repeat due to time limitations, which you can find, and if some of you would give me a Bhagavatam in one volume, I believe I see it there. After the, I can find it for you, and you can study it on your own private study time. It's really worthwhile. I will do this after the lecture. Thank you. No, Bhagavatam in one volume. This is the first canto. We will do it later, because if you look now, everyone will look at you and not listen. I believe a devotional approach is really that we understand in a very devotional way. We are so small. We are moved about by the material nature. which is not under our control. There is our karma which moves us around. We are fully dependent on the Lord, that things go well. We are just supplied by the Lord. Like Prabhupada has told us the story that there was this pandit who commented on the Bhagavad Gita. His name was Arjunacharya. He was in the forest. And he came to this verse, Ananyas Chintayantumang, that I supply my devotees what they need and maintain what they have. And he thought, Krishna can't do this personally. I mean, he's way too busy to take care of every one of us here in the world. And he crossed out the word which stood for I personally supply my devotees. Then he went to take his noon bath, but he informed his wife, please do cook when I come back, I'm a little hungry. So his wife went to the storage to find the ingredients for cooking, but no, there was nothing there in the storage. They lived in the forest, there was no grocery shops nearby. So the wife thought, we have not supplied enough storage. Now there's nothing to eat. What can I cook? But just then, a little boy came. He carried a huge basket of supplies. He said, this is for you and your husband. I just wanted to bring it. I'm leaving. No, no, said the wife, don't leave. My husband is coming back and then he will eat and afterwards you can eat. No, it's not safe, said the young boy. Your husband is very cruel. And then the boy turned around and walked away. And as she looked at his back, she saw wounds, as if someone had taken a pen, just scratched the back until he drew blood. And then the boy disappeared. When Arjunacharya returned, he found his wife sitting on the floor eating the food. Oh, this is a new custom. Usually you are serving the food to your husband and then afterwards you are eating. This is a new habit. You are cruel, said his wife. Could you please explain this statement? The boy who brought the food, your best friend, you scratched his back and drew blood. This is how you're cruel, therefore I've decided to eat before you. My dear devotees, you are devotees, you are from South India, you are born with sanskaras which are so much better than our own unfortunate sanskaras who are Westerners. You know, if you think deeply about your life, it is due to Krishna's mercy. That you can do anything, that you are anything, that you are allowed to have darshan. It is only His great kripa on you. And the devotional understanding is that we are dependent on our Lord. Let us not be arrogant. Let us not be forgetful. Let us not be dull-minded. Let us remember that anything is given to us by the Lord. Then we can be thankful and nice and happy devotees. Hare Krishna. But like to end here, I would like our Nrisimha Swami Prabhu to come here. Please come, Prabhuji.